We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
You're just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle.
Come on!
Do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number three. Wow, we got a ton.
What skills do you have, Dusty?
What skills do I have?
Your number one skill.
I can talk.
No, outside of this job, because I want.
Like, what do I do?
Yeah, what's an outside skill that you have that nobody knows of? Nobody knows.
I can roll my tummy.
That's a good
one. Belly dancer style.
That's a good one.
I can do that.
That's a good one.
No, I don't think I have anything.
Can you curl your tongue? Can't do it.
Really? Can't do that. Can't roll my R's.
Can't do it at all.
You can't roll.
I can do that, but I can't curl my tongue.
No Spanish speaking for you.
I can do neither.
Huh?
Oh, I speak Spanish. I took 4 years in high school and 2 years again in college.
Wait, hold on. How do you speak Spanish without being able to roll your R's?
Well, you don't have to like totally roll them. You just, you know, you make a...
Oh, you've got that whitey accent, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, my accent is muy bueno.
Muy bueno. Ricardo.
Yeah, I don't know.
No te preocupes.
I don't know. All right. We got a lot of people just telling their horror stories of going to games.
That's awful.
Gosh, some of these are ridiculous. And Pio and Anthony brings up a good story. This all reminds me of Crawford's story with the old guy assaulting him in the 300 level.
Yeah, and Crawford deserved to be punched.
Yeah.
He deserved it. He wore a jersey, a Clippers jersey, stood up in the 300 level.
And was clapping.
And was clapping and annoying the guy in front of him, and he deserved every...
He's being obnoxious.
But if you're going to wear a jersey and stand up and for the whole time and clap like that in the 300 level, be prepared for an old guy to punch you.
But that also elicited the response that makes us all believe, and we all now know that Cam hates the elderly because you said you would have knocked him out.
I know. I said I would have defended myself.
And knocked out the old guy.
If he throws at me first.
You're going to knock out an old man.
No, I have a philosophy in life. I don't throw first.
Okay.
Unless it's life threatening or
wait
do
for
that.
The old guy to throw and then you subdue him because you are a dangerously large man.
I would have subdued him.
No, you said
and restrained
you would have
him.
Dropped him.
I would have
what
restrained.
You said.
Him. Yeah, at Crawford's age, yeah. Now no.
Cam hates old people.
At 42, no. At 24,
at 42, it's more reasonable for you to hit the old man because you're closer to him in age.
No, it's not. It's not. At 42, I would not do that. At 24, yeah, I would have knocked him out.
Oh, man. Cam hates
either way,
people.
It's a bad decision.
It
because
really
I
is.
Wouldn't be jersey-wearing guys standing up in front of people.
But some of the ones that I think are interesting here are the ones where, like, fans don't really do anything at all. Like, this guy was saying, I went to the game with my 70-year-old father to a Cowboys-Seahawks game where Cowboys fans, a Seattle fan, threatened to beat up my dad because of the shirt he was wearing. My dad is deaf in his left ear and never heard the guy, which pissed him off even more. Ugh. Fan was probably 35, big, brave fan picking on a grandfather.
Yeah, what a loser. There's nothing more just stamp an L on that dude's head.
And for that guy and those guys and their families, they forever think all Seahawks fans are like that. You know?
Yeah.
And you know what? Completely justified. You can think of all Seahawks fans like, just like Philly fans are jerks because they throw ice balls at Santa Claus, right? That happened, 30-some years ago? And we still think of Philly fan in that. Well, actually, yeah, Philly fan still is kind of that same way. But it's amazing that we kind of think of it that way.
I'm amazed, too. And I think that everybody that's gone to a sporting event has had a crazy experience. I think it's everybody.
Yeah, I remember I was at Autzen Stadium, actually, working, covering a game, Oregon against Utah when Utah was in the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. And they, I remember I was walking through the concourse and there was this Utah fan who was just yelling, screaming, doing the, you know, talking smack, whatever. And then I remember I was walking back the other way and that guy was knocked out cold. He was just laying there unconscious on the ground. So in like a 20 second where I walked one way and then I was on the way back, the guy had gone from running his mouth to just knocked out cold on the concourse at Autzen Stadium. Out.
It's tough.
Yeah. Don't run your mouth. But if you're an innocent bystander, I don't think there's anything wrong.
Really?
With just wearing your, yeah, well, no.
If you're an innocent bystander.
If you're running your mouth and you're in an opposing stadium, you're asking for trouble. If you
yeah,
are,
that's, yeah.
The thing that yeah. I take issue with is when you go into a place and you're just a fan of your team and somebody doesn't like it just because you're a fan of that team.
Yeah, I think it was 2015, I took my whole family. We went to Autzen Stadium. We sat in the Duck season ticket area. We were the only Huskies by far, and we all were, and everybody was great. Everybody was great. I didn't have any problems at all. I mean, we got a couple side eyes. I'm like, oh, which ticket holder sold their tickets? You know, which guy gave up his for this Husky family? Right. But we sat there and we had a great time. I was like, okay,
be ready for it.
I was ready for everything. I'm like, I brought my kids. I think it was the kids thing might have separated it. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't really, we didn't stand up and obnoxiously clap because we got our butts kicked. But that was a good experience. Now, I know there are people that have had other experiences on the other side where it's just been horrible.
Yeah.
With your kids, though, or your grandparents, or your father, it's awful.
See, and that is something I don't get. I never will either. I even had beer and popcorn thrown on a group I was with as a kid in Seattle at a Winterhawks game.
Jeez.
P1 Steve. Taking the 16-year-old hockey game seriously, huh? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, and Cam, this texture makes a good point. It does help you that you're like 6'6", 260.
You keep adding an inch, and you added an inch, and you didn't give the proper weight.
Well, it's like the coach in Dazed and Confused. Every year, you know, the stats of his grandmother in the Mack truck, you know, it keeps going up.
Yeah. So, okay, sorry, 6'5", 385 pounds.
Okay, that sounds better. That's about fair. That's about right.
Oh, man. All right, 55305 fan text line. Still send those in. Those are fun. But we were talking in our textual relations earlier today about the changes in the rules to the national anthem. The NFL's changes are as follows. It is optional to come out to the anthem for players and teams. Players have the option to stay inside where they will not be penalized. If they do come out and they participate in a protest that is deemed disrespectful to the flag or the anthem, then the team will be fined by the NFL. It is a rule change that they say, I wonder your thoughts on this. They say it was unanimously approved, but we know at least one owner abstained from the vote. So is that still considered unanimous? Because he's just saying, I don't want nothing.
Yeah, because there was no dissent.
Yeah. I'm wondering though.
You can choose to say, I don't,
because
I choose not.
Usually they tell us exactly how many votes went which way.
Right.
We just know because Jed York said, I abstain, and he came out and said, hey, look at me. I didn't vote.
Yeah, he made sure.
I'm wondering how many of the owners didn't vote at all in this, because guys like Christopher Johnson, the Jets controlling owner right now, he came out and he said, I'm not.
Is he controlling owner? Is he just CEO? Is his brother Woody still owner?
It's his dad.
Woody. Dad, excuse me. Yeah.
He's controlling the franchise now because his dad is a U.S. ambassador to Ireland?
Don't know.
But he said, I'll pay any fines that that my players incur if they want to voice their opinion.
Yeah, we got after this at our 6:30, and we were kind of really getting delving into it, and we were prepared for kind of the gasoline on the fire of what this anthem issue is going to do with the NFL. I brought up the point, and those of you that don't know or don't remember, that in 2009, the NFL just started coming out for the national anthem. And that was part of the marketing agreement between the armed forces and the money that it was being put forth to the NFL to help market and help for recruitment of new people to the military, which is part of what you do. It's advertising, you're recruiting. I agreed with it at the time because in my career, I never came out for the national anthem. I was always in the locker room.
Yeah.
I never did. Never did for college either. Never did. So this was when this all started and do that, and you got to see when the NFL originally started with their decision, it was based upon the amount of money. And the root of this issue starts, and I made this point earlier, but the root of this issue starts with the marketing and the revenue that the military shared with the NFL. And there was a partnership. And then the partnership turned into what this means for a lot of people outside of a marketing agreement with the NFL. It means everything. The flag means everything. It's our freedom. It means everything to a lot of people. And on the other side, there are others where it doesn't. It doesn't. Let's be honest. There's anger. There's disappointment. There's frustration. There's all those things, all those emotions that are going to come out with that. And the NFL made their decision yesterday, and they made that decision based upon their fear and their understanding that players are not doing the right thing. In the NFL's opinion, I'm just stating facts right now. I'm not giving my opinion. I'm stating the facts. And that also the NFLPA now is making a statement that's saying that you, as the NFL, started making this decision and made a policy without collectively bargaining it. So the argument is now going to come from the NFLPA and the players is that everything that you collectively bargain needs to be communicated to the PA before it goes to a policy vote, because now you're fining players and now you're doing things without bargaining it. And so now we're going to have, there's going to be, you want to talk about divisiveness now, it's going to get even more.
Yeah, they're not helping themselves in the collective bargaining agreement negotiations that are looming, what, in 3 years?
Yeah.
We got 3 years to that.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting note to all of that is that what the NFL did in this is they took it out of the players. Mm-hmm. In hands, in that the fines incurred from this in protests will be a team fine, not a player fine. And then if a team chooses to punish a player, they can do it under the guise of conduct detrimental. So, which is a wide-ranging thing. But they're saying the league doesn't have to collectively bargain this with its players because it's a team fine, not a league fine. Which is still going to open up this whole can of worms. And regardless of what happens, it is going to create more unrest with the players. And that kind of is the biggest thing here, is the NFL is essentially skating on this because they monetized the flag in 2009. Mm-hmm. When they said millions of dollars, we're going to force everybody to come out.
And you as a business owner wouldn't have done it either. You would have gladly accepted
millions
the partnership for this and
right.
As a marketing agreement for the people that love NFL sports, it made complete sense for the military to start this partnership and revenue sharing. That's really what it was. It was just revenue.
And that the whole basis behind this move is they're afraid they will lose money. They're and not because of their partnership with the Department of Defense to have the big American flags and military personnel out there. No, they make this policy because they thought that this is what will stop people from tuning games out. If you don't see the protest, it's not there. The interesting part about all this is what you said, in that you laid it out pretty clear. You didn't go out in 2009 to the national anthem. You had the option to, but you didn't. And you didn't do it because you were preparing for the game. Now, anybody that has that same thought that you had in preparing for the game and wanting to stay in the locker room, it will be a form of protest, essentially, now. And they took that out of guys' hands as well. 55305, that is the fan text line. 816 on the fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 55305. That is the fan text line here. interesting texts that have come through. It seems like we have a little bit more level-headed than we were in the morning, or 6:30 and 6:45 on the anthem stuff.
Oh, I think there's a different group of people in every hour. And there's different listeners that come in and out, different emotions, groups of people. And this is a, like I said, this will be a gasoline on the fire for some people, and others it will just be turn the radio. I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
For others.
Yeah. And, you know, this text says, can we be intellectually honest here and take a look at the national anthem dispute and realize it's kind of a conformity at this point? Our national anthem represents and honors our great country, but this dispute is a regression. I could be out of my gourd, and I'm only 26 here. I know. That's kind of what we were talking about earlier, is that we have lost sight so many times on the national anthem controversy here with the NFL on a litany of issues, like the social injustice and why Colin Kaepernick even started it. The fact that they've tried to tweak and change the form of protest from kneeling, from sitting to kneeling, to raise fists, to locking arms, to, teams not going out for the anthem. They've tried all of these different ways, but it just doesn't seem to appease anybody that, you know, they're not saluting the flag the way that people want them to.
Right. And on the other side, this text comes in at 55305. I love football, but I love my country above all else. Kneel for the anthem and you're dead to me. There are a million better ways I could spend my time than watching commercials and instant replays. This is on the other side of the coin. This is the emotions of what this does and how much it means to families and people. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to feel. But we'll give opinions, and we'll give thoughts. I've said this before. I grew up in a military family with my dad, and I've lived and died for not died. But I've fought for the shield. My shield was the NFL shield. My father fought for another reason on the outside of our country. This is a close button to me. I've said this before. I would always stand at attention for because it's in my just nature to do that. I don't have the experience of others.
No.
And I would never sit in judgment and tell you what it's like to be in someone else's shoes. I have empathy, not always great empathy, but I try to do it as best I can. And the politics of football, and I'll tell you what, the politics of football have even agitated me to the side where I really want to have my break and enjoy the game. And I think there are some that do and some that don't. And I appreciate both sides of that.
And this is something that I sit there and I go, hey, to that texture, okay? Does it matter to that texter that Colin Kaepernick kneeled to honor the servicemen and women that have died for this country, you know, and the form of protest was not meant to disrespect them, you know, and it has that lost sight of what's going on. And I think what we also in all of these kind of moving targets and where everything has gone with it becoming from social injustice to a disrespect of the flag is the fact that, you know, the players now have made this a deal where people have their eyes and attention on it. You know, I want to know what the next step is that they want to do to progress where they're going with the initial protest, right? And what the league is doing. You know, there's more talk about the punishment for protesting than there is about the over $90 million that the league is putting towards social justice reform.
This texter says, I still believe that Colin Kaepernick was just being lazy. And his excuse for sitting down sparked all of this controversy. Now, that text came in at 55305. That's another example. It's just another example of what the media now and what the messages is now portrayed to people.
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of people that feel that way, but I mean, just do a little research on what Colin Kaepernick has done since he has left the or not played in the NFL. He's given over $1 million of his own money that he's contributed to various outlets in forms of charity and contributions towards social reform. And I think that people need to everybody needs to open their eyes and kind of hear what other people are saying on both sides of these conversations, and then maybe we can go somewhere.
Another text is, protest is part of the American tradition. The owners blew inflating a non-issue into a make or break for their business. The root of it is based upon revenue. And if any of us need a slap in the face, you need to just get it. It's a $14 billion industry. These owners are billionaires. What hurts billionaires more than anything in the world? Think about it. Down to your core. What hurts billionaires more than anything in the world?
Well, the bottom line.
Their pocketbooks.
Right.
And when you take money away, television, ad revenue, marketing dollars, players, players saying, I'm paying you. This isn't a player versus owner thing. This is just, it's business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and now it's translated into all these other things. And I always look to the root of the evil. And that's why I see it.
Money.
It has nothing to do. It's just money.
Money, money, money.
I think this one here, I think, kind of sums it up well for me. Just because you tell me you're more patriotic doesn't mean anything to me. The greatest thing about America is that we are allowed to have dissent.
Yeah.
Right. And that is the thing here, is that, like, is part of this that we become so divisive and so kind of rooted in is in the fact that you don't want to hear what the other side has to say. And no, you probably should.
There is no middle ground. Like I said,
you need to have
this.
You need to have it.
There's no way that we can sit here and say that there is a middle ground right now. Right now, it feels one side or the next.
Mm-hmm.
There is no meeting in the middle. Now, there might be some level headed out there of you that listen and can see. But to me, it's very divisive.
Yeah.
Clear.
And, you know, a part of protesting is to create discomfort. You know, that's why you do it, is to say, bring that jolt and be like, hey, we are here. And this has obviously done it. And moving forward, seeing how the players in the NFL move forward and doing that is going to be an interesting thing to do.
And I also believe in this, too. And I believe that as an employer, I don't have a right to a job. That's inside me. I have to earn my job. So I also believe, and if you're an employer, you have a right to have rules because you're an employer and you're a business owner. You have a right to do that. You have a right to enforce whatever rules you want for your job and your employees. So I believe in those things too. But be prepared for pushback on both sides. Mm-hmm. If you're an employee and you choose to do something differently than your employer does not agree with, you're going to have pushback, vice versa. There are things that are there. And you can have a compromise. Sometimes there is no compromise. Sometimes you're fired, and other times you're cut, and guys are not allowed to play, and marketing dollars are moved, or you lose your business. This is what you deal with. But I love rules. I support rules.
Yeah.
I always do. I don't like gray area. I
support rules. You are definitely a black and white man.
No, I'm not. No, Dusty, that's not true. I am not a black and white guy. I believe that there's a lot of...
You hate gray area.
No, gray area is someone that's indifferent. That doesn't follow a path, that says that gray area guy is like, oh, well, I'll just interpret it the way I feel like I want to at all times. I think there is a rules. There's a subset of things you need to follow. Well,
that's black and white.
No, man. There's a point of view. Black and white means you're not listening to other people. Black and white means you only care about your opinion and not anybody else's.
Okay.
That's my version of black and white. You might have a different version.
Yeah, we do.
I love other people's opinions, and I support that. I don't have to agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't always, but I support it.
Yeah, I wonder how many people feel like I do, though, where I stand for the anthem. I will stand for the anthem, but I appreciate that people have voices in this country and can have their right to do that. And I really don't care if people kneel. What I control, which is when I hear the national anthem, when I see a flag, me and my family, we will stand up, put our hands on our heart. Mm-hmm. But if somebody wants to voice their feelings the way that they want to through via protest. And anyway, I don't let that affect me. And I don't understand why people get so worked up over other people expressing their feelings when I just sit there and I'm like, I'm going to do what I do. I love the national anthem, love the flag, but I can appreciate what other people are doing. I'm wondering how many people feel that way and really more or less just don't, it's not that we don't care about the causes, but you just don't care about this particular instance in letting it affect you.
Right.
I really do. I think
this, but you're spot on too. And I just think that the more we talk about this NFL issue and the more we really need to delve into understand and really attach yourself to why this is so personal to you. If it is personal, if it is, dive deep down inside and understand to yourself, it is. It's emotional.
Yeah.
It's hard to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. But it's America, man. Yeah. It's one of the blessings and the curses of this great country is that, you know, we are in these situations where we have these sorts of conversations about the national anthem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the NFL feels that they have found a fix to it, and it is by these rules, and we'll see how the players move forward from here. Your text, 55305. All right, let's talk a little college football, shall we? Which coach in the Pac-12 is closest to a title? It may surprise you. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Here's Rust with SportsCenter.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
A list that was a little bit confusing to me. I saw it came from the Spun? The Spun? Where it said the five coaches that are will most likely to win a national championship. In order from five down to one is Michigan's Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. Number four, Tom Herman of University of Texas. Number three on this list here is Dan Mullen of Florida. Mm-hmm. Number two, Oklahoma's Lincoln Riley. And number one in the coaches that are most likely to win a national title next.
I feel like I know this one.
Kirby Smart of the University of Georgia.
Wow.
Now, this is obviously coaches that have not won previously.
Correct.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
What is missing from that list, Dusty?
There's two conferences for sure, and they are the ACC and the Pacific 12 Conference.
Yeah.
And yeah. What really stuck out to me in this is I was sitting there and I went, wow. You know, like Kirby Smart, Lincoln Riley, I get both. Played in the college football playoff last year. Mm-hmm. Kirby Smart went to the national championship, Oklahoma, with Lincoln Riley. They lost to that Georgia team. And there's a lot of coaches that have won titles. Three through five really is actually confusing to me because you have Dan Mullen at number three at Florida, mm-hmm. Tom Herman at Texas, and then Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Guys that, are they really that much closer to, say, Chris Peterson at University of Washington, who's actually been to a college football playoff, unlike those other three guys.
You're waiting for my response because I look and as I'm writing these down and I look for brands. First of all, I look for what's brandable, what moves the needle nationally when it comes to the college brands. Well, you start with Michigan and you go to Italy and France and you travel and you recruit, you have sleepovers, you climb trees. That's Jim Harbaugh. Never won a Super Bowl, been to one, hasn't been to a national championship game. In fact, has the worst losing record to Ohio State. You know who else lost their first three opportunities, Ohio State? Rich Rodriguez, and got fired.
Yeah.
Yet Jim Harbaugh is now offered a lifetime contract. Go figure that one.
And by the way, it was regressing in the conference after Rich Rod's guys are leaving.
Yeah.
And Brady Hoke's guys are leaving Michigan.
Yeah, it's right there in front of it. So that's a brand, though. Michigan is a powerful brand in this country. And then you have to go to Texas. Texas is as big a brand as anybody. Texas should be in the top 10 every single year. It should be based on their recruiting, their money, and the history of that organization. No doubt in my mind, Texas should be there. Florida and Dan Mullen. Now, I'm not saying that Tom Herman is a better coach. These are all based upon brand perceptions in my eyes. Conferences, how you're lined up. We sit here in the Pac-12, and we go, gosh dang. You mean to tell me that Chris Peterson is not as good a coach as Jim Harbaugh? Chris Peterson is a better college coach than Jim Harbaugh. Better. Mm-hmm. That is clear. It's already been proven. How many college football playoffs has Jim Harbaugh been to?
None.
Zero. Okay? So right now, you're taking Jim Harbaugh's ability compared to a completely different coast and a completely different skill set of recruiting. And then you're also going to look at David Shaw at Stanford, who's done more with less than any coach, I will argue, in the entire country.
Yep.
His ability to recruit is one player compared to, I don't know, going to a high school, say, I can go to five high schools, I can get one guy.
Right.
Other recruiters will go there and said, I can take 20 guys from these high schools. He can take one. He's done more with less than any coach in across the country. Mm-hmm. You're just not getting the respect of it. And the national media and everyone will look at the Pac-12 right now as a secondary, bottom-level group until somebody steps up and knocks that championship out.
Well, and I mean, obviously, what's forgotten in this list and what you were just saying, too, is there's a guy who's played for a national championship coaching in the Pac-12 right now, Chip Kelly at UCLA, who went to the NFL.
Yep.
You know, he was a coach in the NFL at Oregon. He got them to the national championship with 47-6 as a head coach.
Sure.
And he's in Los Angeles, not even considered here. The other guys that were considered for this list that but did not make it, Willie Taggart and James Franklin, Florida State, Penn State.
There you go. Another big brand.
And that is a brand recognition thing.
Certainly is.
And that is kind of the problem that the Pac-12 is in right now. And that's when, you know, that Dennis Dodd article comes out and it says, you know, the Pac-12 is in trouble of becoming the Big 12 in, from 2011, which is on the cusp.
Becoming
of,
it is.
Of no. On the cusp of dissolving.
Oh, yeah.
Like the conference almost dissolved in the Big 12.
No, there's talk of Arizona and Arizona State leaving to go to the Big 12. Leaving. Yeah. See you later. And that's where the Pac-12 is at right now. This isn't an alarming thing. This is a terrifying thing.
And so that brand recognition, I mean, we can look at it out here and you go, all right, Chris Peterson, David Shaw, Chip Kelly. You know, if there was a bigger name than Clay Helton sitting at USC, what are we talking about in that conversation? Okay.
Yeah, very true.
You know, because that is a brand
massive
on the level with some of these ones that we're talking about, but their head coach doesn't seem dynamic enough.
No, and this is national media. This is the perception because USC's, when I mentioned those brands, USC is as big as any one of those brands.
Yes, he is.
It goes to show you how much of the media thinks Clay Helton's a wet blanket coaching there.
Yeah.
And he's a dead man walking. Yes. It's just a matter of time. I mean, you have a new athletic director down there. This was kind of a holdover hire. Clay Helton is not the future of USC, and everybody knows that. And that will not sit well with USC and their arrogance and their confidence.
Watch Clay Helton win a national championship and shut you up this year, huh? With a 17-year-old freshman quarterback who's supposed to be a senior.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
But that won't happen.
But isn't that the best thing that could happen to the Pac-12 is if USC wins a national championship? I mean, think about it.
Unfortunately, but yeah, you're right. Yes, you are right. It's an unfortunate for all of us that are part of other organizations or other brands and love it, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
It brings notoriety back to the conference.
It would give traction again to the conference.
But so would a national championship from Washington. And so would a national championship from Oregon.
Right.
Would bring it. And so would a national championship from UCLA and Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
They would all make this conference into a juggernaut again.
But I think USC.
But USC is the crown jewel.
USC would bring that cachet that. Of course it would. It wasn't a flash in the pan, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even if Oregon or Washington were to do it, people nationally would say, oh, well, you know, they had an easy easy conference schedule. They didn't have to be as battle-tested as Alabama. If they beat them, you'd sit there and you'd be like, they beat them head-to-head!
I know, but that's not changing in our lifetime. It's not.
Well, I know, but USC is... Would. People would be like, oh, yeah, USC did it.
Yeah.
USC did it.
Because Notre Dame's always on their schedule.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they always play a tough non-conference game.
They always do it.
Always do it. They're always there. They're the crown jewel. It's frustrating.
Well, maybe, you know, Washington this year, maybe they would get the credit because they would have Auburn week one. Mm-hmm. And if they were to beat them and then roll their way through and get there, that would be one. Like if Oregon did it this year.
Yeah.
People would have that question of their regular season was too easy because they played Bowling Green, San Jose State, and
out would roll anybody. Would ESPN roll out the cupcakes for Oregon? Yeah, of course they would.
Yeah,
it'd line them up on the sideline.
But you know what? Just as Washington should have done, if Oregon goes through that and somehow they're undefeated when they play Washington October. Mm-hmm. If they're sitting there undefeated, like 5-6-0, when that game rolls up, who cares? You shouldn't care whether or not ESPN rolls out the cupcakes on October 13th and you're sitting there with wins over Bowling Green, Portland State, San Jose State. Who cares? Play the schedule in front of you. Yeah.
Could you imagine the vitriol if ESPN did that to an SEC school?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it would have been ridiculous. Like they never would have.
There would have been
the ESPN campus probably would have been burned down.
Pitchforks and torches.
ESPN would never do it to a Pac-12 school because they have or to an SEC school because they have a partnership with the SEC network.
Yet they'll make fun of our conference on a daily basis, ridicule it, make it look sloppy and cupcakey.
All right. Make it look cupcakey. Again, you set for a game five tonight in the NBA. And your thoughts, Dustin Cam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 55305. On the coaching thing, would Willie have been mentioned if he was still at Oregon? Probably not. This is 100% brand, 0% coaching. Agreed.
Yeah, I think Brian, that's pretty clear.
Brian Kelly at Notre Dame is also a guy who probably should be on the list ahead of Dan Mullen. And he's this texture says he's done just as much as David Shaw. Academic requirements, every bit as stringent.
Not as stringent as Stanford, but I'll give it to you. It's stringent, and they've struggled with that too. Certainly, Notre Dame deals with that. Yes.
Yeah, but you also do have a richer football tradition.
Very much so.
That helps you and benefits you there.
Right, a bigger commitment to football.
And I think we also, we downplay how close Brian Kelly's gotten. Like, yeah, why do we just kind of discredit them?
I don't discredit Notre Dame.
Well, I know, but in the greater conversation, we sit there and we look at it and like, why wouldn't he be on that top five list? Great brand, been close last year, what, 10 win season? Mm-hmm. They're going to have a tough enough schedule. I think the schedule's the one thing that everybody just kind of looks at and goes, they'll never be able to navigate it. You think?
Well, it's the partial ACC. It's the home and homes that you do with Stanford and USC that keep you in the conversation of always being at the top, but they also keep you out of the conversation because you're going to lose one of them.
This year, they play Michigan, Ball State, Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, Stanford, Vatek, Pitt, Navy, Northwestern, Florida State, Syracuse, USC.
Ruthless. It's ruthless.
That's pretty hard. And on the road at Virginia Tech, at Northwestern, at Stanford.
Oh, gosh.
They do play a lot of home games, though.
Yeah. Well, it's Notre Dame.
Hey, they play 8 home games.
Look at Russ got it. 8.
I repeat my refrain from yesterday. Suck it.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what she said. Okay.
I'm a winner.
Tonight we have game 5 of the Western Conference Finals.
Whoopity-doo! Oh, wait.
Wait, this is actually a good series.
There's a 2-2 tie.
2-2. Warriors, Rockets, 6 o'clock over on ESPN Portland,
Houston.
910.
Are you feeling a little bit? I'm feeling a little bit of Houston. It's just like the city. No. So there's something there.
Oh, you mean the City of Champions?
Houston struggled this year. I'm going to give them some shout-out, man. They deserve some love. You want to knock off Golden State this year, I'm all for supporting Houston. That city needs some love.
Santa Fe strong.
Yeah.
As they're calling it. All right. You got Houston tonight?
I'm taking Houston.
I'm going Warriors by 50.
Okay.
No, not 50. Warriors by 7.
7. Wow, way to go out on a limb.
7. It is.
Okay.
Tight limb there. Warriors by 7. All right. Up next is the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk, 7 to 8, The Recruiting Show with Andrew Nemec. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday right here on 1080 The Fan.
Run for fun? What the hell kind of fun is that?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.